Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
So let's go to Romans chapter 3. And if you think about it today, or as you think about it, I mean, if you have kids at camp, you'll think about it. But if you don't have kids at camp, just be praying for those students, you know. Camp is such a powerful time for those young people. You know, we take away all their cell phones. We put everything in a black box. they keep them real active and busy. But, you know, camp, summer camp is where the Lord spoke to me about being a minister. And he did it in kind of, I guess, some spectacular ways. And he had to do it repeatedly because I guess I was thick-headed. But eventually I got it. But how many realize this, that every person has a call? Now, how many are thankful that yours isn't public speaking? Which is, and I'll say this, you know, sometimes people don't realize this, but when we say, at least around here, if you're new to our church, but when I say you have a call, I don't mean that you're called to full-time ministry necessarily. First of all, we're all called to develop and grow in our character in Christ. Amen? To become, to walk more and more like Jesus every day. That's the first call. If you're married, you're called to be a husband. If you have kids, if you're married and you're a female, you're called to be a wife. If you have kids, you're called to be a parent. People say, "Well, I'm single." Well, you're called to be married to Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And whatever He asks you to do, that's what you need to do. How many have noticed that the Lord asks us to do things that are inconvenient to our flesh? He does. And you know what? He acts like He has the right to. Because He does. All right? I know sometimes as humans, we think there are openings in the Godhead for application. You know, Lord, if you need a fourth person in the Godhead for advice, I'm available. I'd like to give my opinion on this. And how many know the Lord doesn't need our opinion? Amen? He needs our submission, our humility, and our obedience. He can get it done without us, but the Lord is of such a nature that He desires to do it with us. Amen? And I don't know about you, but I'm super thankful for that because I really had no 10-year plan coming out of high school. I didn't even have a 2-week plan. I had a weekend plan, and that was it. You know what I mean? So, and I was just running along, following the lusts of the flesh and the course of the world, and God interrupted my life more than likely because of praying family. And I'm thankful that He did, because I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for Him interrupting my life and calling me. And sometimes people are very disappointed in their lives, and if you are, don't blame God. Get together with God and find out where you missed it. Amen. Now that's good preaching. I mean, we could just go home right after that. You know, we could just call it quits. You could think on that for the rest of the week. If I'm disappointed in my relationship with God, how many think God's not dropping the ball? As we say. It's me. Now, no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. But there is conviction. And you say, what do you mean by that? Well, the word conviction in the Greek, one of the definitions is convincing. And what we need to be is convinced that God has the right way, and then we need to adjust our will accordingly and walk in line with that way. And as we do, what comes about is what is called in the book of Genesis, which will never change as long as the world turns, and it's called seed time and harvest. Now, seed time and harvest, people, yeah, I know the seasons, we have farmers around here, but it's in every realm. How many know that seed time and harvest started in the spirit before it started in the natural? All right? Paul said it this way. He said, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap from the flesh what? Destruction. He said, but if you'll sow to the Spirit, you'll reap from the Spirit everlasting life. Okay? Now, whether you realize it or not, and we're still in righteousness, I'm just warming you up a little bit here. Whether you realize it or not, your actions and your words are seeds. So what you're thinking or meditating on then forms your language. Your language, according to the book of James, the tongue has the power of life and of death. So if I connect my mind and renew my mind to the reality of who I am in the Spirit, that I'm a child of God, I am born again, I have Christ in me, the hope of glory, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in me. If I renew my thinking to the reality of that truth in the Spirit, and then I connect my tongue to proper language, which comes from this word and the resurrection of Christ within, I'll actually speak from the same power that raised Christ from the dead concerning my life. Now, in the midst of that, as you're doing that, people often think, well, I need to know what to do. Well, let me express this to you, just as James says it, and he relates it in an analogy in the scriptures. Your tongue is like a rudder on a ship, and it's like a horse bit in a horse's mouth. If I want to steer the ship, what do I need to do? Turn the rudder. That means if I want to steer my life, I need to speak a particular direction. Now, what better direction can you get than this? None. This is the supreme word. This book, and it's a recording, obviously the book is a book, right? And this is, the word is God. So if I'm going to direct my life the way it should go, I've got to speak according to the Bible in line with the scriptures, and by course, my life will follow that direction. Do you know that's true? Do you know that the world has hijacked that principle? Really, the devil has? Do you know if you go to a class on how to be a salesperson, they'll tell you to say certain things. They'll tell you to be, you know, I'm motivated. I'm a grinder. I get sales. Sales come to, they'll do that. Did you know that? And if there are people within the church that say, if you do that, you're in witchcraft, but then they'll agree with it in the business world. They're confused. Amen. The Bible says the power of life and death lies where? Now, if you don't believe that, how did you get born again? Hello? Amen? You believed in your heart and you, with your mouth, and you were saved. That word saved is salvation. And that word saved means healing, deliverance, blessing. It means eternal life. What is eternal life? What are we headed to? Absolutely no death in anything. Think about it. In anything. Nothing will ever die. I know, it messes with your natural head, doesn't it? You won't ever have to replant your garden. Okay, if we have gardens. You understand what I'm just trying to give illustration. You know, this was years ago, and this example has always stuck with me. But I was, when I first got saved, I was working for my father-in-law, and so I could marry his daughter later. He tried to do that deal in the Old Testament. I was like, nah, I don't want the oldest one. All right. That's online, so we're going to have to delete that. All right, so. but we were driving to a job, and we were headed east out of Billings and going up the road there toward, what's the golf course out there? Prior, yeah. And we're headed out there, and as we're coming up, the sun was coming up, all of this stuff. Actually, no, I take that back. We were headed back, and the sun was setting, and we could see the mountains and everything. And he made the statement, isn't that just beautiful? And yet it's all dead. In other words, we see things in this life. How many have seen some of our sunsets lately here in Billings? I mean, we got some good ones, but guys, wait until there's no sin. Imagine what we're going to see, what we're going to experience, and absolutely no death. You'll never have a sore muscle again. Glory to God. I mean, you won't have to sleep. It is expressed as joy unspeakable and full of glory. But we don't even fully understand what that means. And we experience God's presence here to some level. But we have no idea. Talk about the resurrection of Christ completely permeating your being. It's something to look forward to, amen? Well, in our current situation, in the spirit, we're one beautiful and handsome creature. Because we're born again. Because we're born again, we have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus within us. And so we've been answering this question, different questions about righteousness all along. And we looked at a couple of weeks ago, I believe we started it 2 weeks ago, maybe three. But we looked at why we need righteousness, and it's because every person outside of Christ has a sin nature. Okay? Now, how did we attain that righteousness? And this is what we broke into last week. We attain it by grace through faith. Okay? So let me read, I want to just read some of my notes here to you. And this is going to be a little bit of review, so you don't need to write it down. You can go back and watch it on the YouTube channel or on the website. But I want to review some of these things. There's a book by E.W. Kenyon called Two Kinds of Righteousness. Now, I enjoy this book. I like it a lot. Now, I'm going to say this as a caveat to that. I have not read every one of E.W. Kenyon's books, so I don't know what he believes on every subject. But on this one, and from what I've seen in the scripture, I agree with him, so I recommend you get the book. All right? So he said this, universal sin consciousness is the parent of all the religions of the earth. Man has ever sought to rid himself of a sense of guilt and sin. Sin consciousness was born at the fall. It was manifested in Adam's fear to meet God and his desire to cover his nakedness. We talked about this last week, but that's when the first church of the leaves started, right? Because Adam and Eve did what? They attempted to cover themselves with what they had. They didn't approach God by his way. And this is the nature of, and this is the tendency and the nature of humanity outside of Christ since. They come up with different ways to try to get back to God in some way, to appease the God of the universe in some way, so that they can have relationship with him. Because whether people realize it or not, eternity is placed in the heart of every person. You were born eternal. Do you know everybody has eternal life, whether they're born again or not? It's just where you're going to spend it. That's the only difference. You're going to live forever one way or another. And we talked about this before, but I'll reiterate it. You are living in your physical body, which is equivalent to a tent. You are a spirit on the inside. You look through these eyes called window, or the... I rebuke dyslexia in Jesus' name. No. You look through these windows called eyes, and you see this world around you, right? But you are a spirit on the inside, all right? Now, if you don't believe that, go watch the documentary on NDEs. NDE stands for Near-Death Experience. There's a new documentary out, and it's called Life After Death, it's called After Death. I think is what it's called. It's a brand new one out, and I recommend that you watch it. Now, they used to classify these things as mental things years ago. But as technology has advanced, there are people that are dying, that have died and come back, and their brain was, they were checking their brain waves when they died, completely non-functioning brain, and yet they had an entire experience, including describing what was going on in the medical room when they died, repeating back to the doctors and nurses the words that they spoke. And the doctors and nurses are sitting there going, what? Well, now there's millions of these accounts, so they don't even bother trying to debunk them anymore. They just know that it is the case, or they chalk it up as, we don't know. Well, we know. All right, there's a whole spirit world and it's real. And so when we're talking about getting back to God and talking about righteousness, there's only one way back to God, and that's by faith in Christ, which then turns you and I from a place of being unrighteous to a place of being what? Righteous. Okay? And that's a position in the Spirit. So how was the righteousness attained? We read this, and I'm going to go through these pretty quickly, but Romans 3, 21 and 22, it says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So what we're talking about is the righteousness of God. Verse 22 says, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. How did you receive the righteousness of God? It came through faith in Jesus Christ. All right? And we're going to get into this more and more. I believe you'll be excited by the time we get to where we're going to get today. So basically, what do we see? We see that righteousness was attained, as far as the righteousness of God, was attained in our lives through faith in Jesus Christ. So whose righteousness do you have? According to those verses, you have the righteousness of God. Now, what I didn't say is that you're God. Okay? You say, why do you have to say that? Because there are people that have believed that lie. In fact, there's cults that believe that lie. All right? I didn't say you are God. I didn't say I was God. I said you now have the righteousness of God. Now, does that make sense? Now, think about this with me. Think a little bit deeper into it. How are you going to be around God if he didn't give you his righteousness? Okay? Does that make sense? Now, we're not taking anything away from the deity, the sovereignty, the supremacy of God himself. How many know there is one God and you ain't him? And I ain't him, right? I know that's not great English, but you get the point. Right? There is one God, and he is God. But in his godness, in his sovereignty, he chose to make his righteousness available to you and me via faith in Jesus Christ. So let me say this to you. It is okay to say that you have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It is okay for you to declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Why is that okay? Because God said that it was so when if you would believe in what Jesus did. And if you have believed in what Jesus did for you, then it is okay to say that you've moved from a place of unrighteousness to a place of righteousness. Amen? You have attained that righteousness. Listen to me. Not by works of the law. This is a righteousness that was revealed apart from the law. In other words, what? Separated from the law. So, if you think, if in your mind you're still struggling with religious thinking, and you're thinking, oh, I can't approach God. You know, I yelled at my dog, and I slapped my cat, and I, you know... Whatever you did, maybe you got birds. I flicked my bird. I got angry and, you know, said something in traffic I wasn't supposed to. Guys, you don't get to God by your performance. You got to God, listen, by Jesus' performance. Yay. Okay? He's the one that did the work to get you into unity with God. Now, people say, well, are you you're saying we can live however we want? No, I'm just like Paul in this way. Romans chapter 6, he said, people say, well, are you saying we can just live however we want? And Paul said, God forbid. Why would you want to participate in sin when you've been made clean? That's like you taking a shower, cleaning off, and then going outside and finding a mud puddle and just rolling around in it. Why would you want to do that? Now, let me say that with this. We are growing spiritually, which means you're going to make mistakes. I'm not believing for them. I'm not confessing them over you. I'm not saying you have to. I just have been around long enough, and I know myself, and you gonna. And I have. But that doesn't mean I lost my position. It means I affected my fellowship. Heidi and I have been married now, well, on the 19th of this month, 25 years. Okay? As somebody said to us walking in, you got married at 7. You're gonna in other words, we got married young. but we've been married 25 years. Now, whether I feel married or not, I'm married. Whether she feels married or not, she's married. We have a legal document that says, in fact, it's so legal that if we wanted to separate, if we wanted to, I hate that word, if we decided to call it quits, I'm not going to even say the D word. If we wanted to call it quits that way, we'd have to legally do something to break that. Well, legally, you are, when you confessed Jesus in the Spirit, you were sealed by the Holy Ghost, child of God. And not sealed like just sealed. I know, you know, how many have ever seen those old time seals where they take wax and then they have a mark or initials or something and they seal a letter shut, right? Or something like that. I'm not talking about that. I think more like vacuum sealed. How many have done the vacuum sealing thing? In the Spirit, how many know the Holy Spirit knows how to seal something? He like gets in there and he seals it so tight. Whatever's inside that vacuum seal, why do you do that? It will preserve for how long? Yeah, I mean, it'll preserve a long time, right? Whatever's in, so how many know you're inside the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost is inside and he sealed you up and the blood of Jesus washed you over? How many know you're sealed? Your salvation is more secure than many, many times our minds realize. Okay? So how did you get righteous? You put your faith in Jesus. Now, what you're going to fight with, and it's true, you're just going to have to deal with this. You're going to have thoughts that are going to come to you and tell you otherwise. In fact, there's thoughts that are going to come to you, probably while I'm preaching and even after you leave, that are going to say things like, that preacher's crazy. But I'm just as crazy as what's being written here. All right? Now, I'm in good company. They called Jesus crazy, and they called Paul crazy. But realize this, this will give some strength to your faith in Jesus concerning your salvation. Realize this, and think in terms of this. You cannot save yourself. So my trust and my hope, like that old hymn, right? My hope is built on nothing less than what? And what? And righteousness. I have hope, I have strength, I have the righteousness of God in Christ because of what Jesus did. So I do this. When the devil comes to me, he says, oh, that's not who you are. You're not going to receive, you know, those promises that you're believing God for and you're standing on in your life. You're not going to receive the prayers that you've prayed. You've done this wrong and that wrong. I say, yeah, you're right, devil, you're right. But you know what? I'm not counting on me. You got to learn how to talk to the devil. And I'm not talking about your spouse or your kids or your boss or whoever you think the devil has manifested in to torture you. All right? I'm not talking about that. You need to, this is something I learned at Rhema from Brother Hagin, but he talked about it all day. He would say, you know what, Mr. Devil? He was way nicer than me. He called him Mr. Devil. I don't even put Mr. on the front. I'm just like, devil, you're a liar. I'm not counting on me. I'm counting on Jesus. So if you can go ahead and find fault with Jesus, then you'll have a legal case to be able to stop the promises of God concerning my life. Oh, man. Josh, were you the only one that saw that with me? Oh, my goodness. Hello. Is there any sin in Jesus? So whose name are you praying in? In the name of
Jesus.
Oh, I wonder if that gets all the way to God's ears. Do you see it? It's not based on your works. It is not based on your works. It is, listen to me, it is not based on your works. It is based on Jesus' works. So stop looking at yourself in the natural and start looking at yourself in the spirit. Amen? It's based on Jesus' works. Now, your works are going to get a whole lot better if you just believe that. You'll live a lot cleaner life if you believe that you've been made clean in the spirit. But if you constantly see yourself as never attained and never being righteous, you can't walk with confidence. You have to see yourself the way he sees you. Amen? All right, let's wrap this up this morning this way. So it's two all and upon all. And eventually here, we'll get to the fruits of righteousness, which is essentially holy living. How many think holy living might be a good idea? Okay, you say, why would you? So we know we're not earning our righteousness by holy living, right? We know we're not earning our salvation. That's a position that we take. But why would holy living be important? Because it helps your faith and confidence to walk with the Lord in this life. Amen? Do you know sin can actually shorten a believer's life? I mean, shorten their life, their time down here on earth. If you don't believe that, go read Proverbs. And even when you're reading through the epistles, you'll see it. Paul said it. They talk about it. If you yield to the flesh has a harvest. Do you know what that harvest is? Death. It's corruption. It's death. Where does that death manifest? Right here. There are people that are sick in their body because they live a carnal life. What do you mean? They hold unforgiveness and bitterness. Do you know there's no unforgiveness or bitterness in your spirit? If there is, it's in Jesus. Do you like the way I take it to that point and you have nowhere to go? You have nowhere to go. And people say, well, I know, but I did this and I did that. I know you yielded to a wrong thought which came from your enemy and the desires of the flesh, and you stepped into something that you weren't supposed to, and now you feel like you don't have righteousness. But that sin didn't get into your spirit, man. It's dealing here and dealing here. So you didn't, in other words, your actions may have shown that you don't love Jesus, but I've asked people that are in sin and they know they're in sin and they're having a hard time overcoming it, and I've asked them, do you hate Jesus? Do you want him out of your life? And they're weeping, no, I don't. So then I know I just need to get their head straight. And when their head gets right with their heart, they'll dominate this. Amen? Amen. Sin is a terrible thing. You don't want to play with it. All right? All right. So we saw that this is how salvation comes. All right, verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Verse 24. This is Romans 3:24. Being justified, that word means made innocent, freely by his grace. How? How are we justified? Freely by his grace. Does freely sound like works? It doesn't sound like works, does it? It's freely. What is freely? What does free mean? Now, I'm not talking about when you see a commercial on TV and they lie. I'm talking about if I had a $100 bill and I said, this is for free. Now, they did a test on this at our last youth conference that we did last year. Well, our first one and the last one we did, but last year. And I think it was Rusty Phelan that was preaching. And he put a $20 bill on the pulpit. And he said, this is for anybody who wants it. And he didn't say, come get it. He just said, whoever wants this can have it. And he just left it on the pulpit. And I'm looking at students around me. And I'm going, and I'm literally telling, I'm looking right at him. And I said, go up there and take it. go up there and take it. And they're sitting around. I was sitting right over here. I had a few of the students around me. And I'm like, get up and go get the 20. And Rusty's still preaching. And you know what they're thinking, right? They're thinking, I can't get up right now. I'll interrupt the preacher and da-da-da-da-da. But the preacher was wanting him to do it because he's trying to make a point about God. And he put that $20, and it sat there and sat there and sat there. And guess who got so irritated they just went and got it? Me. Because I knew what it was. And then I gave it to one of the Bart kids because she had the boldness to come ask me for it. And I said, yes. But really, I wish they would have just gone up there and grabbed it. Why? Because that's what faith does. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, people think, oh, I'm going to go wrestle it out of God's hands. No, it's just sitting there. It's been made available. You've been justified freely by his grace. Now, let me finish this here. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation, that means payment, by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Verse 26 says, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness. What was the crucifixion of Christ? It was a demonstration of his righteousness. Now watch. That he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. How many have ever read that and you thought, what does that mean? Let me say it like this. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ was a demonstration of God's righteousness. It demonstrated the righteous punishment for sin and the pathway to righteousness for humanity. That is the just and the justifier. Does God have to be just? Does he have to punish sin? Yes. But he also wants to be a justifier. So how did he punish sin and then make you justified? He did it in Jesus. Now watch, let me say it another way to you because I want you to see this. The cross of Christ, the Holy Spirit spoke this to me. He is so smart. The cross of Christ is where wrath, justice, and compassion, justification, converged. It was the courtroom where humanity and divinity had their differences settled. You know, that makes me so happy. You know why? Because God looked. Now, we read these verses earlier where he passed over the sins previously committed. That's everything in the Old Testament from Adam and Eve on. There was a preaching of Jesus all the way through the law and the prophets. And then Jesus manifested, boom, and all the sins from then to where Jesus was out until the end of time then converged because God wanted it has to be just, converged on Jesus. He paid the full penalty for all those sins. He rose from the dead, and when he did, he was then just and the justifier. Oh my goodness. The cross of Christ is where justice was enforced for sin and justification for humanity was made available. Your sins, my sins, actually every human that will ever live, their sins have been fully paid for. Fully paid for. Now let me read Romans chapter 1 to you and then we'll stop. Romans chapter 1, not the whole chapter. Sorry, that sounded kind of like, I'm going to read all of Romans chapter 1. How about verses 16 through 18? Watch this. Paul said this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For everyone who what? Believe. And then he says, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So the Jews had the first opportunity. Who did Jesus go to first? There you go. And now to the Greek. Now it's to all the world. All right? Now the rest of the world's getting saved to make the Jews jealous. I'm not joking. It says it in the scripture. All right? That's what's happening. So if you want to make the Jews jealous, just get more people saved that aren't Jews. Amen? All right, so he goes on to say this, for in it, verse 17, for in what? Listen to this, go back to verse 1, for in what? In the gospel of Jesus Christ is what the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, think about this with me. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is his incarnation, it is his crucifixion, and it is his ascension. So the righteousness of God is revealed. So what was revealed? His justice and his justification. Do you see it? His justice and his justification were revealed. All right, now watch this. He goes on to say this, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, which we know, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's in Habakkuk. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. How many have read that verse and thought, uh-oh, Lord, I sinned, I'm sorry. Where was it revealed? At the cross. The wrath of God was revealed at the cross. Why was it revealed there? Because that was his justice. It was a demonstration to all the world. This is what you deserve. Third day comes around, Jesus raises from the dead, and he says, this is what I'm offering by grace. Do you see it? Boy, you got to fight for this to see it. You got to think. Like, this is, you know, how many have realized that that Christianity is a thinking person's gospel? God's wrath was revealed on Jesus. Now, if I reject Jesus, what am I saying I deserve? The wrath that he received. Do you see that? He was the just and the justifier. I'm going to say it one more time. I'm going to read it this way. Or I'm going to go back and read what the Holy Spirit gave me. The cross of Christ is where wrath or justice and compassion, justification, converged. It was the courtroom where humanity and divinity had their differences settled. Now, people will say this. They'll go, well, what about the people that are running around sinning and they refuse Jesus? The Bible says they're under the wrath of God. Why? Because they rejected the revelation that Jesus gave or that God gave in Jesus. So if I reject protection or I reject the payment of Christ, what's left? For me, between me and God. Who has to pay for my sin? I do. But as the believer, as the Christian, as you, the born again one, God's wrath is not on you. It is not on you. If it's on you, you need to get born again. I'm going to say it again. I can feel, I am plowing, man, right now. I know this messes with your head. It messed with mine, and I had to sit with these words and look at it and read the commentary and look at it and read the commentary and look at it and hear from the Holy Spirit until it started to settle into my thinking. People sometimes think transformation of thinking is like this easy thing. It's not. It takes time. That means justice was satisfied when Jesus was hung on that cross concerning my life if I, by faith, receive Christ. If justice was not satisfied, now we're in double jeopardy. How many have ever heard of double jeopardy before? Right? Okay? So that means all your sins are paid for. in Jesus. People say, well, what about the unpardonable sin? The unpardonable sin is the rejection of Christ. If I reject the forgiveness, how do I get forgiven? Don't complicate that. Don't turn it into things it isn't. There's so many people do this. They complicate things. They look at things and they go, well, and they'll read it. They'll read through the New Testament without really understanding the covenant. And they'll go, yeah, see, I'm there. And they'll identify with all these things that the Lord never identified you with. And in fact, if you'd just read the previous four verses and the next four, you'd find out you're not in the category. You've been made righteous in Christ. And if the Lord sealed you, how many think he did a good job? Now, what's the key to it all? Keep your faith in Jesus. Don't ever let go of that, amen? Don't ever let go of your faith in Jesus. Did that help? So where did God's wrath land on? Landed on Jesus. Now you need to declare that over your own life. God's wrath landed on Jesus for my sin. People sometimes will say, well, if I sin, are you saying there won't be any consequences? No, there will be. They just won't be from God. They'll be from your decision, and then you open the door to the enemy, and then what happens? He comes in, and he plays in your yard. And when he does, what does he produce? Stealing, destroying. All right, I'm going to give you one more verse, and we'll leave it at this. And you're just going to have to work this out. When Paul wrote a letter to the church at Corinth, there was a man in the church who had taken his father's wife. That's a weird thought. You ever thought about that? Now, in the current culture in America, do you think that's that far-fetched? No. Paul said, I've turned such a one over to Satan. Listen, he said, for the destruction of his flesh, that his soul might be saved in the day of judgment. Why did Paul say that? Why didn't Paul say, yep, God's wrath is going to drive that guy into the ground? Do you see it? Come on, you got to think about these things. Boy, I'm sure glad I was able to get that out. That'll give you a lot to think about. Now, if you're not going to look at it and think about it, you're going to be frustrated. But at least now you know. Amen?
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.